Hello, everybody, and welcome in to eBible Fellowship's continuing Bible studies into the book of 1 Samuel, heard at this very same time, Monday through Friday. And we thank you for being with us wherever you are and however you're listening to us, either through eBible Fellowship's webcast audio or through Skype or perhaps through Pal Talk or even over the phone. And we pray that the Lord's blessings will be with us over the next 30 minutes or so as we now prepare to open our Bibles and introduce Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. And tonight we're continuing with our study number 11 in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading from verse 17 through verse 23. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before Jehovah, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and Jehovah remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of Jehovah." And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto Jehovah the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before Jehovah, and there abide forever." And Elkanah her husband said unto her, "Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only Jehovah establish his word." So the woman abode, and gave her son suck, until she weaned him. Well, last time we were noticing how Eli had given assurance to the woman, and he, of course, was the chief authority in Israel at that time. He was a judge, and he also was a priest, and he had charge over the house of God where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And yet, when we read that Eli said to Hannah that she should go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition, and then in response, Hannah, who again very humbly says, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight," she uses very lowly language. And once again refers to herself as the handmaid, and that's just a servant. And earlier she had said she was the handmaid of the Lord, but now she's speaking to Eli and indicating she is his handmaid, because believers are servants to our fellow men on behalf of Christ. We serve mankind. We serve the world as servants of God. And yet after hearing this from Eli, that she should go in peace and God, may the God of Israel grant thy petition. Actually, he didn't say may. He just made a statement, "The God of Israel grant thee thy petition." So Hannah, upon hearing this, ate, where before she refused to eat or had no appetite, and now her countenance was no more sad. She was cheered. Her heart was encouraged. Was she encouraged by the words of Eli? Well, only insofar as Eli was speaking the word of God. God had moved Eli to say these words, and so the statements that Eli made were coming from God. They were inspired. That's why they're part of the Bible. And Hannah somehow recognized this. God gave her the ability to hear his voice, and this brought her comfort of heart and encouraged her. You know, it's the same way when believers listen to the teaching of men, and men are fallible. They're prone to error. They can say wrong things. Even perhaps an individual who commonly teaches wrong things, yet maybe on an occasion a believer happens to hear something the person is saying, and he's making a true statement that can actually be helpful to the believer. And so here Hannah just takes away the truth that she has heard coming from Eli, because it is actually coming from God. And then in verse 19, it says, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before Jehovah and returned and came to their house to Ramah." And Ramah, again, the word Ramah, if you look in Strong's Concordance, is 7414, but it is identical with the consonants and the vowel points to 7413, which is a word translated high place. So they came to their house to the high place. And notice how they rose up in the morning early and worship before Jehovah. And it's a good example. It's good instruction for each one of us that when we rise up in the daytime, the first thing we should do is to worship God. And we may forget this at time and we'll suffer because of it. It is a good habit to get into. If we get up and as soon as we get up, we think, "Oh, I need to read the Bible." And then after reading the Bible, we think, "Now I want to take some time to pray and to spend time praying to God about this coming day." It's really an excellent habit to get into, because the day is full of evil. Remember, the Bible says, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof," and it's just foolish and it's dangerous for a child of God, with all of the possible temptations and trials and afflictions that may come our way from just about any source. It's just a foolish thing for us to quickly rush out the door or to go about our business, no matter what it is, whether it's going to work or taking care of the home or going to school, but whatever we're doing, without first going to God and praying. And we can pray about the day that's dawning, about the period that's ahead of us. We can ask God to help us in every situation. Many of us know the situations that we're going to find ourselves in. We may know the people even that will probably give us trouble during the day. So we can pray for the situation. We can pray for the people. We can ask God to help us, to give us wisdom toward every soul in every situation. And all of this is part of worship. And we can cast our cares early upon God and ask him to strengthen us by his Spirit in our inner being, in our inner man, in order to live that particular day to the glory of God, to honor Him and to obey Him. And may He keep us and watch out for us and protect our family. And we can just go on and on. All the things that nag at us in our minds, all the little things that come to our minds and we think, I'm worried about this and I'm concerned about the other thing. Well, we can, before these things begin to bother us and our thoughts, we can go to God and pray beforehand, and hopefully, it's actually a pretty sure thing. He will help us. We will actually just feel comforted. We will know no matter what happens, I prayed, and I don't know what's going on right now, but I know that at least I did go to God and ask Him for help today, so I'm going to trust that everything's just going to work out for the good, that everything will turn to a blessing, and we can have a much more positive mindset when we start the day as we should, early in the morning, or the time we get up and we worship God, just as Elkanah and Hannah, and Elkanah, I'm sure, had his whole family, Peninnah and her children, and he gathered them, and before embarking on their journey, taking their trip home, they worshiped the Lord, and then they came to their house in Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and Jehovah remembered her. Now, this is some of the beautiful language of the King James Bible, the beautiful language of God, really. You know, today, we're so accustomed to coarseness and vulgarity and to cursing. And just the English language is deteriorating and getting worse and worse as we go on. And people think they have to be as descriptive as possible in every area, and in order to reveal what's going on with them in their life. And here God just uses a beautiful expression to describe marital relations between Elkanah and his wife, Hannah, in the marriage bed, and he knew her. And the Bible uses this sort of language in a few instances. And it also tells us in regards to Mary in the New Testament that Joseph did not know her until after Christ had been born. She was a virgin who gave birth to the Lord Jesus, and so her husband did not know her. But here Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and Jehovah remembered her. Now, let's keep in mind Hannah's name once again. Her name means favor or grace or merciful, mercy. You could sum it up as, and here it says the Lord or Jehovah remembered her. In other words, he remembered mercy. He remembered Hannah. It says in Psalm 98, and in verse 3, he has remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And actually, this phrase that Jehovah remembered her, and then And then Hannah conceives and bears a son, and she calls him Samuel. The spiritual teaching here does involve the mercy of God concerning his salvation plan. We can see this a little bit better when we go to the New Testament and Luke, the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1. And here, after Mary conceives, after Mary had visited Elizabeth and she begins to sing this song in verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And then it goes on in verse 53, "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." See, Mary is speaking these words or proclaiming this song in order to show her thankfulness and to praise God that she is going to give birth to the Messiah, to the Christ, to the promised Savior, to the one that God has spoken about to all the prophets, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and the one that the people of God have longed for and looked for expectantly. They've looked to God, they've cried out to God, waited upon God, and how long before the Messiah comes? And now, finally, after 11,000 years of history, the Messiah has come, and Mary is with child by the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ is conceived, and so this child prompts Mary to proclaim, "He has holpen," or helped, "his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy," the birth of the barren woman. That idea of the barren woman is referring to the barrenness of the people of God for centuries and for millennium, that no Savior had come down through them and entered into the human race for such a long period of time. But now Mary, with child by the Holy Ghost, would give birth to the salvation himself, to Christ, the Lord, the Savior of his people. And it was all result of God remembering his mercy, the promises that he had given. And he doesn't forget. He hasn't forgotten. He hasn't been mistaken. He gave the promises concerning the coming of Christ, and he gave it at the very beginning. We read about it even in Genesis 3. And he gave it all through time, down through the centuries, again and again. Christ would come. The Messiah would come. He would take upon himself a human nature. He would walk amongst men. And God remembered his promises. He remembered his mercy to mankind, to the elect people, that Christ had already atoned for their sins. And so Mary is moved to proclaim this and praise God for it. Now, it also says over in Luke chapter 1, in verse 69, and this is Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, who has had his mouth open finally after a long period of time, when he was asked what John's name would be. He said his name is John, and then immediately God opened his tongue or loosed his tongue, and he spake and praised God. And here is some of what he said in verse 69, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And again, an emphasis on God remembering the promise of mercy. He took an oath. And God cannot lie. It's an impossibility for God to lie. As Hebrews tells us, by two immutable things, we have confidence that God, who has spoken and has declared that he will do certain things, we can have every confidence and every expectation that he will fulfill it utterly and completely without fail, because God does not lie, nor does he forget his promises. You know, it's significant that Zacharias, his name means Yah has remembered. Zacharias, John the Baptist's father's name, it himself, means Yah, or the Lord has remembered. And his wife Elizabeth's name means God of the oath. So here, what a marriage, what a joining together of two individuals. Just their names make a perfect match. And I'm sure they too, as children of God, were a lovely couple as they lived their married life. And yet, Elizabeth, well, her name was stating God of the oath. God of the oath. And then comes her husband along, Yah has remembered, Zacharias. And just as Zacharias finally, in his old age, he praises God and makes that very statement that God had now performed the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. So the whole Bible really records the promise of God concerning his mercy in reference to his salvation plan for his people. And here, as Hannah is going to conceive and bear a son, God, the Lord Jehovah, remembered her. He remembered his mercy. And it goes on to say in 1 Samuel 1, in verse 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of Jehovah. And we know how desperately, how earnestly Hannah pleaded with God that he might hear her request, and she presented her supplications before him. And God did hear. and he gave her this son. And so Hannah decides to name the boy Samuel. And Samuel is a compound word. It's made up of two Hebrew words, and it means heard of God, because Hannah's prayer was heard by God. And so here she names her son a name that will remind her every time she calls him, every time she thinks of him, she'll think Samuel, and his name itself will be a testimony back to her that her prayer was heard, that there is a God, and that God, he does concern himself with the events of men and with the goings on in the world. And he even concerns himself with the desires of a woman in a tiny little country. Of course, God had his reasons and his purposes for blessing Hannah with a son. He was moving these events in order to record scripture. But how many women and how many people have gone to God who are not on the pages of the Bible? How many have gone to him in prayer and besought him for the desires of their heart, for the salvation of their children, or even for things like this, out of loneliness? Oh Lord, lead me to someone that I could be equally yoked with. Oh Lord, to the couple who maybe has gone a few years without a child, oh Lord, is it possible that you might bless us with children? And sometimes God doesn't answer those prayers, but oftentimes he does. And so God is a God who hears prayer according to his will. And he's a God we can always turn to and always go to and always beseech him and cry out to and talk to him, because we may get an answer that we desire, or maybe he'll say no, and that's possible. But yet, even in that, we'll know that, well, we've gone to the one, the only one who could help us in this matter. And since it's not his will that we have a child, or I find a wife or a husband or whatever, then this helps us in our minds and our souls to become at peace, because it's then not the will of God, and we want the will of God. Let's stop here for tonight, and Lord willing, we'll pick this up again tomorrow evening.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Chris McCann with his continuing studies into the book of 1 Samuel. These studies are heard every Monday through Friday night at this very same time over Pal Talk, over Skype, over eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over the phone. Lord willing, we'll have another Bible study for you tomorrow night into the book of 1 Samuel. And until then, may the Lord's perfect will be done. Good night.